You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with The Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
To Oddball. I'm Charlotte Wilder. Amin Alhassan is out today, but don't worry, I have a new co-host because Oddball here has invested in cutting-edge technology that will tee me up with stories for today's show. And now, all these stories have been algorithmically selected using open source metadata to optimize for peak trending potential across all digital platforms. My co-host today, ladies and gentlemen, Algorithm.
Hi, Charlotte. I'm Al. I'm here to help you with today's show.
Al, question for you. Is there any way we can change your voice?
Yes. I can charge the credit card on file for a voice upgrade. Do you approve that charge?
Sure. Yes.
Thank you. $500,000 has been charged to the credit card on file labeled Oddball Company Card.
Jesus, you trying to get me fired?
Upgrade
now?
Complete. Nice to meet you, Charlotte. I feel like I already know you based on my complete review of every single text and email you've ever written, and all the pictures in your photo gallery. Shall we begin?
Oh, Jesus. Yep. Yeah, sure. Yes. Let's.
Your first story is Luka Doncic and Kyrie Irving beat James Harden, Paul George, and Kawhi Leonard. They are all relevant metadata tags. Hey, Charlotte. Are you confident your prediction of Mavs in 5 can come true after last night?
Yeah, you know what, Al? I am. I'm doubling down on my take. I'm saying Mavs in 5. They won last night. The Clippers had everybody. Kawhi played. All their best guys were out there. And the Mavs got their act together in a way that they freely admitted they just did not have in Game 1. Luka did what he's supposed to do. He put up 32 points. Kyrie put up 23. I think they're going to grind this out. I think my absurd take of Mavs in 5 can still come true, Al. And given that I said Luka and Kyrie's names and everything, did we just maximize our viral potential?
Yes. Very efficient content creation. Moving on.
Thank you.
Ant-Man. Paul Rudd, Avengers, Marvel. Sorry. Recalibrating. Anthony Edwards is the new Michael Jordan, according to TikTok users in the coveted 12 to 17-year-old demographic. You surely agree.
No, but he's great. Look, Ant has been in the league for 4 seasons. MJ was in the league for 4 seasons. Well, for more than that. But by the time he was in the league for 4 seasons, he was a 3-time All-NBA player. He was 1-time All-Defense. He was the MVP once already. He was a Defensive Player of the Year. He was a 4-time All-Star. Ant has been an All-Star twice. And look, obviously, this isn't all awards based. Ant is a revelation. His play does look a lot like Michael Jordan. He also looks a lot like Michael Jordan, which is, oh my God, it looks like they just put hair on MJ. But anyway, you know, also the Suns have just fallen apart and Durant didn't hit any threes last night. Booker hit 1 of 6. So I don't know, Al. I feel like I'm really crushing this whole like optimized for SEO thing. Should we talk about Bucks Pacers?
No. Algorithmically speaking, nobody gives a fuck. A better topic would be, is Dame Dollar really him?
Dude, what? We don't swear on here. You're like giving me shit. You're a robot. Ugh, I just swore. Whatever. Dame, sure. Maybe he's him. Maybe he's not him. I think he's him. I actually do want to talk about the Pacers, though. So, sorry, Al. You're a robot. I'm going to do what I want to do. Hot take. Amin's not here. He keeps saying the Bucks are going to win. I actually think that inexperience could be helpful for the Pacers because when you're young, you don't know what you don't know. Like, you don't know what you're getting into. You don't know how hard it can be. Obviously, like, playoff experience matters so much in the NBA, and only the 2018 Celtics made it to the conference finals with a team that young. But I'm actually going to spin this forward to the Pelicans-Thunder game tonight, too, because Shai Gilgeous-Alexander has been absolutely incredible and so consistent this whole season. I mean, he's a finalist for the MVP. Thunder are the one seed. Maybe the older teams are just getting a little too old to keep up with the energy of these young teams, and I just think there's some raw excitement that comes from, again, just not knowing what you're getting yourself into, Al. I think this could happen. I think the Thunder could go a lot farther. I think even the Pacers have a shot against the Bucks. I mean, Giannis isn't playing. In the words of Lloyd Christmas from Dumb and Dumber, I'm saying there's a chance, Al. Can we please talk about Miami versus Boston now?
Matt Damon, Ben Affleck, Mark Wahlberg, Chris Evans, Gucci Mane. All of them root for the CELTICS. Should they feel confident about beating the favorite team of Dwayne The Rock Johnson, Ricky Rosette, and DJ Khaled?
Oh my God. If we don't go viral after this, we have failed. Yeah, they should. The Celtics should definitely feel confident about beating the Heat without Jimmy Butler. I mean, it almost feels unfair. Part of me feels bad for the Heat, which is funny because I hate the Heat. I mean, I don't hate the Heat. I talk about the NBA for a living, but like, I'm also a Celtics fan. Celtics in four. Celtics in four, Al. That's what I would say.
According to the data, fighting dominates the internet. Nikola Jokic has international appeal. His brother murked a Lakers fan. He totally eviscerated him. No cap. Just ask celeb Laker fans like Bad Bunny, all Kardashians and Jenners. And also that dreamboat Timothy Chalamet, who was reportedly in a romantic relationship with...
Oh my God, Al, What are we doing? Are you short-circuiting? Oh, my God. Folks, that was embarrassing. I'm so sorry. Al is still a work in progress. I think this AI coming for our jobs thing might be, like, a little further away than we think. But, you know, the last thing I said was Celtics in four, and I have something I have to admit about fandom, and Amin's not here today. So while I have you, can I tell you a secret? Oh, God. It's that I'm trying very, very hard not to be a Knicks fan this year. I know. Listen, I know. I do not want to be a Knicks fan. It's very bad for my brand. I am a Boston Celtics fan. I am from Boston. I am supposed to hate New York sports teams. And look, don't get me wrong. I love the Celtics. Okay? I really love the Celtics. I want the Celtics to win the finals. Watching Boston this season has brought me so much joy. But Can we all just admit it's kind of like watching a bunch of trained assassins in a movie? Like, there's not a ton of tension there, you know? What does that lower say? Celtics fan bored by championship? I'm not bored. The Celtics don't have enough championships for me to be bored by that. As a Boston fan, maybe. Just, like, hear me out. I'm not trying to be an entitled Boston fan. I'm just saying the Celtics are kind of like John Wick this year. And the Knicks are kind of like the Muppets Take Manhattan. No, sorry, that's mean. That's really mean. They're great NBA players. They are not Muppets. I'm a Muppet. But the Knicks have taken Manhattan, and they were not supposed to be this great, which makes it very, very, very difficult for me not to love them. Because this is a team of scrappy, hard-nosed underdogs. Jalen Brunson, he's like 5'10". Just kidding. He's definitely taller than that. But he has put this whole team on his back He has become the Robin Hood of New York. He has robbed wins and given them to this poor, poor fan base. And look, he's done all of this without other stars this year. Julius Randle's donezo. Mitch Robinson was out for a while. OG Anunoby was out. And besides Randle, those guys weren't thought of as stars in the first place. Like, role players have embraced their tasks. They have grinded out wins. It's gritty basketball. And it has changed the entire trajectory of a franchise that has been a laughingstock for a generation. Also, Jalen Brunson, Dante DiVincenzo, Josh Hart all went to college together. They won championships together in college. Brunson and DiVincenzo were roommates. How can you not love that? Also, like, if I made a living doing what I did in college, I would be a professional person who has to go see the dean of students again because she got caught drinking on a roof, you dumbass. Like, what these guys are doing is very impressive. It is so wild. Also, Brunson's dad is a coach for the Knicks. Like, that's adorable. It's also cute. Brunson and Hart have a podcast together. They're fun and charming. And they love Coach Thibodeau, who, like, a lot of players haven't loved. But this team, these Knicks, they're like, no, Tom, we want to play 57 minutes every game, especially when we're hurt. And then we've got all these old guys, all these guys who used to be on the Knicks, who didn't even play at the same time, but they all showed up courtside to lose their minds like they were fans in the 400 section. John Starks was there. He was wearing a quarter zip. Looked like a dad who works in finance and wouldn't miss his son's AAU tournament for the world. Melo's there. Sprewell's there. It's like a class reunion of all the classes. Knicks fans, you guys are in a sweet spot right now. I really believe that there is nothing more romantic than being a sports fan when your team is good after totally sucking for so long. It's miraculous. It feels, what does that lower third say? Entitled Celtics fan condescends to Knicks fan. I'm not Jesus, I thought we were all on the same team here, everybody. Listen, but it is miraculous. It feels like you've entered another realm of the world, like an alternate timeline where all those years where you were like, God, I wish we were good. This is the world where you're good. And trust me, I know, because I'm about to drop a Red Sox reference. I'm going to have to enter the witness protection program in New York and Boston by the time this monologue is done. But the Red Sox breaking the curse in 2004 was the best sports moment of my life. This has been the least stressful sports year of my life in terms of being a Celtics fan. They're expected to win. If they don't, it's a failure. If the Knicks win, it's a, excuse my French, f-ing miracle. It is very hard not to root for the underdog, is what I'm trying to say. And they are the underdog in this series, even though they are the 2 seed and the Sixers are the 7 seed. The Sixers have Embiid. He's hurt. Maybe they're not the underdogs. They're the underdogs in our hearts. This is a franchise, everybody, that has the 4th most regular season losses in NBA history. But this year's team is a revelation. All of this to say, I am fighting for my life not to love this team as much as I do. I'm married to a Knicks fan too, though, so he might be incepting me in my sleep. I didn't think of that. There's actually no way of knowing. But I do live here. I do love it here. Boston will always be where I'm from, but New York is now home. Also, I pay taxes here. Do you know how much money the city takes out of my paycheck? Like, I might as well enjoy it. Or maybe I'm falling in love with this team because I spent too much time with Knicks fans before game 2 of round 1. This town, it became clear, would do anything for its team. And I mean anything. Take a look.
Excuse me. We are doing a piece on how much New York loves Jalen Brunson. Can we ask you?
MVP! 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 MVP!
How do you feel about Jalen Brunson?
I love it. Godsend.
Would you give Jalen Brunson $20?
What? Yeah, of course. Yeah, duh.
I give him $40, give me 40 points.
A dollar a point? That feels cheap.
I would give him 45 just for good measure.
45.
Well, I mean, you got to include tip, right?
If he needs it, he could have the shirt off my back.
Would you fight Joel Embiid for Jalen Brunson?
Easily, blindfolded.
Would you win?
Easily.
Okay, well.
I'm from Philly. I'm from New York. Come on, that's it.
Oh, that's a police car that's going to hit us, maybe. She died doing what she loved. If Jalen Brunson were like, hey, I'm going to leave the Knicks if you don't give me your dog, would you give Jalen Brunson your dog?
Easily. For sure.
He can have my dog, and I'll buy him another dog.
I would have given him my dog, and if he doesn't like that one, I have another one on backup.
She got vet bills. Take her. She's a prop.
He would just have to move in with me. That way, I don't lose my dog, and I get an extra roommate.
You say your wife doesn't know you're here?
No, absolutely not.
All right, we're not going to blow your cover, sir. Would you lick 7th Avenue for Jalen Brunson?
Lick 7th Avenue? What the?
It depends on 7th Avenue uptown or downtown. Like, these are the questions real New York we got to ask.
I've been waiting for someone to ask that.
They sweat pretty good over here, I think.
Fuck it. Why not?
I'm nervous because I'm having a lot of fun out here. These people are really fun. This team is really fun. I mean, everybody hates their dogs in New York, apparently, but that's whatever. I can't be a Knicks fan at all. I'm from Boston. I'm a Celtics fan. I cannot. I am not. It's fun, though, but I'm not. But I'm not a Knicks fan.
If New Yorkers being nice to me is not a sign of how much this Knicks team has captured the hearts and perhaps changed the minds of the citizens of New York City, then I just do not know what is. Anyway, after the break, Amin will be back with us, and that is because we are showing you part of our interview with Craig Robinson. Stick around.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Are you tired of snooty wines and their old world wine culture? Confused by words like malolactic fermentation? Yeah, we are too. So with 19 Crimes, you can do the fancy schmancy tilt, sip, smell. Ooh, I think it tastes like old red cherry, a little bit of wood and mahogany, a little leather. You can do all that stuff or don't. 19 Crimes is the rebel of wine culture telling stories of rogues and rule breakers who overcame adversities. From convicts banished to Australia to the legendary icon Snoop Dogg himself. 19 Crimes wine is defiant by nature, bold in character, and always uncompromising. 19 Crimes, the official wine of the UFC, pick up in stores nationwide or online at 19crimes.com. Enjoy responsibly. Copyright 2024, Sonoma, California.
Welcome back to Oddball. I'm still Charlotte Wilder, and don't worry, we've got some Amin Alhassan coming your way because we spoke to the executive director of the National Association of Basketball Coaches, Coach Craig Robinson. He was an absolute delight, and he's got a great podcast, Ways to Win, with his co-host, Coach John Calipari. Let's hear some of that interview.
It's story time with Craig Robinson.
When I was in the front office and we had pre-draft interviews, we'd have these players come in, they're right. coming for workouts, but then we take them out to dinner or, you know, or have the actual formal interview that's taped. And one of the things that we like to do sometimes is throwing a curveball to throw them off, just because everyone's on their best behavior, right? In the interview, everyone's on their best behavior at the dinner. We try to throw in some curveballs to get some genuine reactions to see, okay, what do you really like?
Right.
Famously, your brother-in-law is President Barack Obama, the 44th president of the United States.
Right.
And there's a very famous story that has been told that when your sister Michelle was first dating Barack, that you and your boys took him out to the court and hooped with him, kind of as a litmus test. In the process of hooping with Barack Obama, did you guys do anything to kind of just tweak him a little bit? Not just straightforward playing check ball, whatever, but just a little bit roughing him up to kind of see how the real him reacts and not the interview him.
All right. Amin, do you have a sister?
I do.
All right. Older, younger?
Younger sister.
Okay. So you'll get them. How about you, Charlotte? You have any older or younger siblings?
No, I'm an only child.
Only child.
I hope is not obvious every time I answer that question.
No, it isn't. It isn't. I think the fact that you're involved in sports, people always think team player if you're in sports, and you strike me as a team player. So
thank you.
But the reason I bring this up is because I'm going to give you a little backstory on that. It's totally true story, totally true story. But I was not happy having to do that, right? Because, see, this is what was going on. She wanted me to do her dirty work, right? Yeah. So she wanted, because she hears my dad and I talking about how you can tell a person's personality from playing pickup basketball. And Charlotte, I don't know if you've played, but if you play, it's a little different with women because I've got a daughter and I watch them. They never play pickup, right? They never play enough pickup, but guys do. And guys, you can tell a guy's personality. I mean, you know what I mean? Like if a guy calls, so the calling of fouls is a really, it's a work of etiquette in the pickup arena, right? Mm-hmm. If you call too many fouls, you can look like a jerk. If you foul guys and you don't give them a foul, like something, you know, the idea is like, you know, you know when you foul a guy and if it messes up his shot, you're like, oh, and he doesn't call it. You say, oh, I got him on that. And you give him the ball back. And there's a little dance that goes on. So she's like, I want you to take him and to play with your friends and tell me what his personality is like. And I'm like, are you kidding me? All my friends are like pros. Like we all playing professional. He comes in, he's going to get eaten alive, right? Like he can't win that. He can't win it. And I was like, no, I'm not doing it. And she was like, please come on. She begged and begged. So finally I put together a group. And you'll laugh at this because a lot of these people ended up working with him. Arnie Duncan, Rogers from Aerial Capital, Marty Nesbitt, myself, some other folks who are sort of his age, right? Like I didn't take him to the real run. So we put together a run. And so we're playing. And I didn't tell them the reason why we're doing this is because he's interviewing. I just said, we just go play ball with this guy that my sister just met. And so we're playing, but this is what I like. I didn't set any traps for him either. I just wanted to see how he was going to play. And then I figured I'd manage my sister's expectations the way I normally do. So he surprisingly was a great pickup player, right? He passed the ball just enough not to look like he was sucking up to me. He played good D, played good hard D. He gave up fouls when he should. He didn't let people run over him. So as a result, I was able to go back to her and give a good report. But I'm telling you, guys, I was not happy to have been put in that position because she never kept a boyfriend longer than 2 or 3 months. So... Yes. So this was like at the 3 month period. She was like, can you go check him? I'm like, oh, this is so now she's going to use me to fire this guy.
Right. You're going to do
dirty work.
What's so fascinating about that, Coach, is you just described someone who is brilliant at politics. You just described someone who can read the room, who knows what to do just enough, not enough, like just complete awareness of what's going on around him, which is not surprising, but it also ties exactly back into what your podcast is, which is like, you can tell a lot about a person from how they play pickup, but also from how they manage people in pickup. Yes. I mean, it's like a little uncanny how they correlate.
It's really neat, Charlotte, because you could tell at some point he's been coached either by his parents or his grandparents or by a coach growing up. It wasn't like he was just, we call it just either you're raised or you're dragged up. He wasn't dragged up. He was raised, right? And he had just enough basketball skill to fit in, you know, because that's another thing with pickup basketball. You get thrown in at different skill levels, but you have your own skill level and you could be at the bottom of the rung or the top of the rung. You still can't be a jerk. And that's you hit it. And these are the kinds of lessons that I think coaches can share with business leaders and entertainers and politicians. And we can glean from them sort of the same things. And I think somewhere in there's a real neat intersection of things to really cool things to talk about.
One of the things we talked to Eddie about it too, just the idea like the Chicago, I think more so than probably any other city, the idea of the Chicago guys being very close-knit through generations and the pickup games where,
real
you know,
talk.
You're playing against, you're a high school kid and you're playing against pros.
Yo.
And they're basically grooming you because exactly. you're next and you're doing the same to the generation.
Let me tell you, my first summer league team on the West Side, it was Sonny Parker.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Jabari's dad.
Nope. Tony Parker, Jabari's dad.
No, wait.
Oh, no, Tony Sonny Parker, Jabari's dad. Tony Parker's dad.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Marcellus Starks, who was the first guy, he played in Hawaii, but one of the first guys to make over $100,000 in Italy. Mm. He didn't go to Hawaii. Al Davis went to Hawaii. Maurice Cheeks.
Yep.
So all of these guys are on one team.
Mm-hmm.
And me, and I'm 16 years old.
Wow.
That's
and
incredible.
They put me in the game. And you know what a 16-year-old does in the game? Get the ball, pass, cut through. Yeah. They were like, Craig.
You gotta go after it.
They cleared a side out for me. I don't know what I'm doing. I'm going up against Mark Aguirre or somebody and get my shot blocked. And they come back, throw it down to me again. That is such a true story. I mean, they looked out for all of us younger mm-hmm. guys. I mean, you know, Doc Rivers, Isaiah, myself. And it is a real fraternity of guys who are close knit. Where I don't get that when I go to other sort of urban hotbeds like New York.
Yeah.
You know, guys, it's a different vibe. It's a different vibe.
He's the best, Craig Robinson. Thank you so much for your time. I also need to thank my co-host for today, Al Garitham. Besides a complete meltdown there at the end, he did a really great job. Are you short-circuiting?
Shall we begin?
I mean, did you see Jokic dressed up as Gru from Despicable Me 4 and how he's promoting it?
Yeah, he's like, he was in a commercial for it, and then he showed up to the game dressed
with the scarf.
That way. Yeah.
What cartoon characters look like NBA players? Because I have, can I tell you my first one?
What do you got?
I think that Rudy Gobert is Scooby-Doo.
Oh,
I don't mean it as insult. Like, can you see it?
No, I can't see it.
Maybe it's that Rudy sounds like Scooby.
Rudy? I got Jalen Brunson as Mighty Mouse. I know that's Damon Stoudemire's nickname,
damn.
But it's like Jalen Brunson, also smaller guy, but he's beating all these giants. So that's how I got Mighty Mouse.
That's really good. Charlie Brown, Peyton mm-hmm. Pritchard.
That's a really good one. Okay. How about Anthony Edwards as young Simba from The Lion King?
Oh.
Yo, I just can't wait to be, because you know, he's going to be the best next.
Okay. I'm going to take us home and say Goofy Boban.
No.